We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All righty, we are one day away from the start of the Western Conference Finals. Golden State Warriors hosting the Dallas Mavericks, 6 o'clock. Chase Center, San Francisco.
Let's go!
Don't, you know.
You sound hyped. That's what I love it.
Well, I got to,
You got to what?
No, I don't, we're still 30 hours away. One of the things, Goo, you know about me, I don't like to get too high or too low, especially this soon before a game, because, and where do you go with all that energy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but we actually got an appetizer tonight, Miami, Boston.
Yeah. I'm going to have that one taped.
Okay.
I'll watch it later tonight.
DVR. Girl got practice.
What's that?
Your girl got practice, your daughter? Why would you tape
she
it?
She does, but okay. I'm not taking her today. I'll be out on the links.
Oh, look at my boy.
Yeah.
Tiger Steinmetz.
Well,
I see you with the red. Red shirt for the people.
My,
yeah.
All right, I got a question for Warrior fans. Last two times the Warriors played the Mavericks, there were two real interesting games, I felt. And I guess the question I want to ask is, how much do they matter, if at all? If at all. So let me just tell you about a couple of these games. One was March 3rd, and then one was 5 days before that, February 27th. So the game on February 27th, tell me if you remember this, Mavs were down 21. This was in San Francisco.
I'm gonna be quiet.
They were down 21. They outscored the Warriors 33-13 in the fourth quarter. And the Warriors went without a field goal for 8 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Damn.
Dallas won 107-101. Now, no Draymond Green in that game.
That's huge.
And no Klay Thompson in that game. They played 5 days later in Dallas. This one was a close game most of the night. Tie game, 6 minutes to go. Doncic made all the plays down the stretch. Dallas held the Warriors to 22 points in the fourth quarter, and that was the game where Steph Curry took no shots, zero shots in the fourth quarter of the game.
Yikes.
Dallas won 122-113. In that game, no Draymond Green.
But
does it matter at all? At all? And if it does, how much?
I'm going to say zero, Steiny.
Okay.
And I watch both of those games. I respect Dallas. I really do. But also, the game in Dallas, Moses Moody had, to me, his best game of the season. So, unless I'm wrong, and I'm really wrong, we're not going to see him come tomorrow night. So, to me, the fact that two-thirds of the Splash Brothers, I mean, the big three weren't there, that's a big deal. But now, if you're Dallas, Steiny, and you're a player, and you're a coach, Jason Kidd, they may be like, Goo, what are you talking about? It does mean something. We'll see. But those are three big storylines of who didn't play, who actually played, to where I'm like, what can we really make of this? But the one thing about what you just mentioned, Steiny, that bothers me is I don't want to live in a world where Steph doesn't take a shot the last 5 minutes.
12.
Oh, the last 12 what?
He did not take a shot in the fourth quarter of the February, I'm sorry, of the March 3rd game.
Which was in Dallas.
Game.
Okay.
That was the one Yes, in Dallas.
I don't like that because it's reminiscent of the play-in game against Memphis where Steph didn't score in the 5 minutes. But, Stani, I wish we were right next to Curry like we were a couple months ago. Like, what would his answer be? And you know what, Goose, slow down. I'm talking to you guys in the crosstalk, crossover crosstalk, Stani, which one you call it?
Doesn't matter.
All right.
You okay?
No, we did that yesterday. No, the crosstalk crossover. I told you Steph is about to get number four. I just went blank.
Right, but that's kind of irrelevant to
my
our conversation.
My point is,
right,
the
here.
Stakes are bigger. That will never happen again, him going that long without a shot.
Here's Steph Curry on how he thinks Dallas is going to guard him.
Yeah, it's always like that, but specifically with Dallas, they remember a game in the regular season in Dallas. I didn't get a shot at him in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. We blew a big lead here at home. They kind of blitzed us in the fourth quarter. I know we're a different team than we were then and a lot more polished. We still have some things to work on in terms of, you know, valuing the possessions and taking care of the basketball, but we have a lot better flow and understanding of how we're going to create good offense, even if they want to, you know, trap me all over the court or try to keep the ball in my hands. So we'll be prepared for all of that, but I feel like they'll probably take a page out of that game in Dallas and whatever they, I don't remember what they did in the fourth quarter here. We'll probably start to look at those two games and figure out what's the best guess of what they'll try on Wednesday and then go from there.
In the February 27th game, where Dallas outscored the Warriors 33-13,
ooh,
Curry was 2-for-8 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And then again, 5 days later, it was a close game, and the Mavericks pulled away late. And that's the game where Curry refers to not getting any shots. Now,
so they're aware.
If I went back and watched the last 6 minutes of the March 3rd game.
What'd you see?
What I saw was Steph Curry getting blitzed. He gave the ball up, and Moses Moody, I believe, had about 9 points in the last 5 minutes. So Moody made some big plays in that game. The question is this. Do you really want Moody? And Moody probably won't be as big of a factor, obviously, because the Warriors won't. But that's the question. When Steph gives the ball up, like he does, because he plays the right way, it means you're relying on somebody else.
Bam.
Instead of Steph Curry.
Okay, gotcha.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And Dallas is playing they call that where I'm from, Stani, real quick, playing the percentages.
Well, Dallas, on the other hand, I'm telling you, Warrior fans, go back and watch these games because the Warriors are going to have to do something different defensively because there were four possessions, two late in each of the games, where Curry got matched up against Luka Doncic. And it was just, the thing is, Doncic can play so slow. He can dribble, back in, look. And he plays so slow that if you're going to double team him, he kind of sees it coming.
And they got
shooters.
For the
most part. Now, he had 9 turnovers in the February 27th game. So Doncic can be turned over. My thing is, though, he's found a way to take all the important shots or be involved in all the important plays for Dallas. Luka. And can the Warriors figure out a way, like Curry's talking about? Because clearly Curry acknowledges they got the ball out of his hands in the regular season. So how do the Warriors get the ball into Curry's hands as effortlessly as Dallas does with Luka?
Okay. That is a question that remains. The answer is the unknown. But I'll tell you this, when you talk about the other half of the Splash Brothers and what we saw in regard to Game 6 Clay, all dependent on what we're about to see, Stani, their third series in the offs, you got Clay as an option. And I told you this in the green room, and I mean it. I mean, my player, my X factor, it has to be Jordan Poole. Not the Jordan Poole we saw in the Memphis series, Stani. The Jordan Poole that we saw put that stretch of 25 to 30-point games together. Because if Dallas is successful getting it out of Curry's hands, well, your life relies, your offense relies on the shooters. And we saw during blowout game five against Memphis, nobody stepped up. And I forgot to mention Wiggins is an option. So, I mean, Stani, this is who you came to battle with. This is who you're going to. You got to trust. And again, Poole is my guy that has to show up if the Golden State Warriors are going to knock off the Mavericks.
Jordan Poole in the second of those two games was 8 for 12, 3 for 6. He had 23 points in 26 minutes. So he was very good in the 122-113 loss. In the game where the Warriors got outscored by 20 in the fourth quarter, he was 0 for 7 from the field. 0 for 7.
You may laugh at what I'm about to say, but Steve Kerr was on Damon and Ratto, and he said that Luka reminded him of Harden. But my ears took that, Stoney, of good Harden as a compliment. And I go back to the playoff series where Houston went up on the Warriors 3-2. You remember that? And nobody to me is talking or giving credit to Jalen Brunson. I won't call him a poor man's Chris Paul, but Stoney, he plays with intellect. He can create his own shot. He can drive and kick. And that's what this Dallas team, that's what they pride themselves on. So as much as we focus on Luka being Harden, I can make the argument in my mind that Brunson is a poor man's Paul, so it's not just Luka. And I think that gets lost in translation. Everybody thinks it's just Luka jacking this and that. They got Brunson, and he can control the pace along with Dinwiddie, Stoney. This ain't going to be easy.
You know, it feels like a lot of people are taking what I'm saying as a slight on Steph. Not at all, because the 5-1-0 nails it here. Luka needs the ball to be great. Steph Curry doesn't.
Yep.
I agree with that. The question becomes, though, how much or how little do you want Steph Curry without the ball? That's been the issue with his whole – not issue, but that's been the debate his entire career. How much do you want him to handle the ball and use a pick and roll or go one-on-one, and how much do you want to use him off the ball where he might be the best player in the league off the ball? Because the problem with sometimes playing off the ball is then he doesn't get the ball, even though that's a part of his greatness. I think all that's going to be fun to watch.
Real quick, Stoney, how do you think he would answer that?
Who?
Steph.
Which?
Like, is there a preference? Do you think he has a preference of how much he's playing off the ball, or he knows?
Well, I think honestly, when he's running that high pick and roll and they blitz him and he gives the ball up, at those times, I think he'd rather be off the ball. Because, listen, when Steph Curry was emerging as the Steph Curry that we know.
Superstar.
And they were taking the ball out of his hands. A lot of times what he would do when he got trapped near half court, he tried to make the great play.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tried to dribble through guys. Sometimes he tried to wait too long to pass. He doesn't do that anymore. He anticipates the double, and he gets rid of it at the right time now. So the rest of everybody can play four on three, at least for a few seconds. So the bottom line with Steph is, I think, listen, I think it's harder to stop a guy like Steph Curry than Luka Doncic, because Doncic is going to play with the ball in his hands.
And we've seen Steph, and we wonder why other guys don't play the way Steph does. And try to master, you know, the Kyrie Irvins or the James Hardens, like why they don't try to duplicate that. But you want, Stoudy, you got to be in shape. And two, I got to bring this up about Friday and the turnovers. I really do, Stoney. They're in the Western Conference Finals. This is no shade or hate. You know, one would say, well, how the hell can you have any of that if they're at this juncture? But Friday night's game gave me a different brand of turnover, and it was about three or four times where the Warriors were on a fast break, and the player, whether it be Dre, Steph, they overthrew, you know, the guy that was going in for the layup. My question to you is, can you remember a team playing this deep in the offs having that as their Achilles heel? Because that scares me.
I don't know that it's an Achilles heel.
At some point, it's got to catch up with you.
I don't know that it's an Achilles heel.
Well, it hasn't been yet.
Exactly. If you're going to have 30 assists, you're probably going to have more turnovers. Because they pat, like, the turnovers to me, and
man,
I get it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they commit too many, but it's the price you pay for playing the style that they play, which is a pass-first offense. It's motion. Again, Dallas, I haven't looked.
Right.
But I bet you Dallas doesn't turn the ball over at all, virtually. I bet you they're near the bottom of turnovers.
Well, they had six Sunday, but that was a blowout against Phoenix.
But why? Because one guy handles it for most of the shot clock. Mm. So they're not going to turn it over that much. Dallas also plays the slowest tempo of any team in the league in terms of pace.
That's good.
So
I can't wait.
This is going to definitely be a battle of styles. We got some great guests here today. Matt Barnes, 12:30. That's in 5 minutes. Matt Barnes, All the Smoke podcast, former Golden State Warrior. He was on the We Believe team that beat Dallas. And he had some harsh words about Patrick Beverley that we're going to ask him about. And we're seeing more players kind of going at players these days. And
new media?
I don't know what that means, to tell you the truth. But I guess it's...
Yeah, something new.
I don't know what it is. But more and more athletes are obviously commenting on guys who are still playing. We got Matt Barnes at 12:30. And then 1 o'clock, Lionel Hollins, former coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, also coached the Nets. He was an assistant with the Lakers with Jason Kidd, who coaches the Mavericks from 19 to 21. And the other thing that I'm looking forward to asking Lionel Hollins, he was on a team, the Portland Trailblazers, that many consider was the quintessential team beating a group of individuals in an NBA Finals when Portland beat Julius Erving, George McGinnis, Daryl Dawkins, and the Philadelphia 76ers in the mid-70s. So Lionel Hollins... looking forward to talking to the L Train. Mm-hmm. That's what he's called.
He was a bad dude.
All right. We got a pair of Warriors tickets to give away, and it's starting tomorrow, 7:30 in the morning. The Morning Roast has a pair of Game 1 tickets to give away. Then on Thursday, tune in from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Game 2. All right, it's going to be a great series. You know that. I know that. Don't miss your opportunity to be in the building for games 1 and 2. And as always, you can get tickets at warriors.com. Former We Believe Warrior, current ESPN analyst, Matt Barnes, on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Final second, the Golden State Warriors have pulled off the greatest upset in the history of the NBA playoffs. They have defeated the Dallas Mavericks in six as the confetti comes from above. 111-86, the final score.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so that was about, I would say, 6 minutes before Dirk Nowitzki would punch a hole in the wall at Oracle Arena. Welcome, Matt Barnes, because you were part of the crew that made him do it. We got Matt? No? All right, we'll get him.
Ah, man, I was working on that setup.
Yeah. And now I can't do it again.
I can't do it again. Yeah, you got it in you.
I can't do it again.
Yeah, you got it in you.
No, because now it's not about Matt Barnes. It's about our listeners. We can't do it. So like, all right, now we got it.
There we go.
Oh, Matt, man, did you hear our intro, Matt?
Yeah, I heard what you said. I was on mute. My bad.
Okay.
No, it was, but I was going to say, I think he threw a chair because, remember, the hole was really high up. But, yeah, we did... You know, we played really well, and we were able to, you know, at the time make NBA history, and it was a special group, and it was definitely a fun time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Barnes, member of the 2007 We Believe team. Hey, Matt, here's where I'm going to start with you, because you made some news yesterday talking about Patrick Beverley, and I'm going to play it for listeners who maybe didn't hear it, but I kind of want to ask you about the more and more players who are kind of getting into the media business and kind of expound on that a little. Take a listen.
What I want to touch on real quick, RJ, is the disrespect I saw from Pat Beverley earlier today. You know, as reporters, you know, part of the media, we have a job to be critical, but I think there's a thin line between being critical and disrespecting. And I feel like what Pat Beverley did today to Chris Paul was completely disrespectful and out of the line. And Pat Beverley's talking like he's that guy. You're not that guy. Plain and simple. Chris Paul played terrible this year, and his numbers are still better than your career numbers have ever been. So I just think you have to understand, Chris is a 12-time All-Star. He played terrible. First time, all defense nine times, seven times first team all defense. He'll be a Hall of Famer. Pat Bev and I were similar type role players. They don't talk about us when we go. They're going to talk about CP3 when he's done. And I just think the disrespect we saw earlier today on the ESPN show need to be checked because he was way out of pocket.
Now, Matt, I happen to agree with you because I think Chris Paul's a different level of player than Patrick Beverley. But my bigger question is, are we seeing more and more of you guys, and I'm talking about former players, being critical of the players today, and where do you think that's going?
It's unfortunate because I feel like guys entering the space now feel like they have to be loud and disrespectful and have wild takes to kind of fit in. But you don't. You know, you could just give your perspective. They have us talking about the sport because they want to know how it is to be inside that locker room, what it's like to shoot free throws with 2 seconds on the clock, what's it like to get a crucial stop. They want to know all that because there's other people in the media who just report on that. So I feel like it's unfortunate because media has become, and this is not all athletes, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people out here that do it in this space, unfortunately, that just, who can say the most disrespectful wild shit and see if they get clicks, you know. So that wasn't necessarily directed only at Patrick Beverley. There's a lot of people in the space, and I feel like the media space awards that. You know, they award disrespect, and they could, because at the end of the day, it's ratings. It's almost like reality TV. They don't want to see you happy on reality TV with your family. They want to see fights and glasses of water thrown and doing all kinds of crazy stuff because that's what, you know, gets eyeballs. So it's the same thing in the media space now, and I really think that, you know, it's almost a lost art on people. Obviously, being critical is it comes with the territory. It's tough, but I think you can be critical and make your point without being disrespectful. And I feel like just too often, whether it's athletes or media personalities as a whole, feel like they need to be disrespectful instead of just proving your point with, you know, numbers and really critiquing someone.
Man, Matt, that was spot on. We'll get to the basketball aspect of it, but I told my partner, when you played, you said what you needed to say right then and there in the moment, and I appreciate that. But like you, I got two sons, Matt, and I saw Kendrick Perkins' video making the rounds about Draymond Friday, and I come from the Big E Pac school of rap, and I know somebody calls you out, you got to respond. But
right,
Matt, and I don't want to put a race car, but as a black man, I didn't like what Kendrick Perkins was insinuating to Draymond, and I felt like he took the bait. Is that kind of the umbrella of what you're talking about? Because nobody wins when you go that low like I think Kendrick did.
Right. I mean, I feel like there's a thin line between keeping it, like, sporty and kind of fun for the game.
Right.
And there's a line of disrespect. And, you know, like, I love both these. Both those are my guys. You know, Draymond is my guy, and Perk is my guy. So, you know, I see fault in both sides. I think the exchange could have happened, you know, maybe minus the ogre. And then obviously, you know, Perk goes on to say what he says.
Yeah.
I think it's a fun interaction when it can happen somewhat, if you want to call it above board, because it's cool. You know, sometimes you want to get into it and it's in the good spirit of the game. But, you know, unfortunately now we're in an era of, you know, disrespect leads to all kinds of different things. You know what I mean? And we don't necessarily have to get into that. So I agree. I grew up in the same area. You feel like you have to have a rebuttal.
Mm. But
again, I just feel like it's just whole energy of, and it's not everyone, but unfortunately, I feel like the negative energy overshadows the people who are really trying to just do their job. And I feel like the energy of negativity towards not only athletes, but celebrities, entertainers, actors, actresses, like, people want to say just the nastiest things. And it's just like, you know, how about just report on what's supposed to be reported and you know, stop being so disrespectful. It's just kind of my take on it. So
Matt Barnes joining us on 95.7 The Game, who's a member of the We Believe Warriors. Also won a ring with the Golden State Warriors. What year was that, Matt? Was that their second one?
17.
That's right. 17, that's right.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because you guys haven't, well, the Warriors haven't played Dallas since We Believe. I feel like Dallas is different now than they were at the beginning of the year. And it feels like it's because of Jason Kidd. What do you say to that, and why are they playing their best ball of the season right now?
I agree with you 1,000%. And I think this is another reason why it's important. And it's not for everyone. Just like the media space is not for all former players. Coaching is not for all former players. But there are a lot of good, great former players, good former players that can become coaches. And obviously, you know, Jay Kidd's had his stint here and there in the NBA, but I just feel like when you've proved it on the court as a player, and then you're trying to motivate your team into doing it, and that's a different kind of energy. You know what I mean? I've had some great coaches who didn't really play on the highest level, you know, and they were able to motivate me. But when, you know, when a Doc Rivers gives you a motivational speech, or, you know, for a Jason Kidd, you know, guys that have done it at the highest level that you respect a lot, they give you a different kind of energy. And I completely agree. You know, he took a chance at, you know, calling Luka out publicly and calling some guys out publicly, because not all coaches have that kind of respect in the locker room where they can do it. You know, especially this day and age, like, you guys really get in their feelings. So I liked it that his players took it as a challenge instead of disrespect. You know, and now he really has these guys at the right time hitting on all cylinders. I think he made, you know, some huge adjustments after the first two games in Phoenix, and they were able to go back home and change up their defense and do a few different things. And you saw him, you know, in game seven, he was jumping up on the sidelines when his guys were in traps. So I love the energy and enthusiasm and wisdom he's brought to that team. He's getting the best out of his players. You know, as a head coach, you don't necessarily want, like, someone who's going to be buddy-buddy friendly with him. You want a coach that's going to get the best out of his players, and I really feel like that's what Jason Kidd is doing right now.
Man, I got to tell you this, man, because I'm coming in every day, and I don't play. You played. I got to slow down. The Warriors, they're 8 wins away, right? They got to win 4 right to get to the finals. But we were at the facility and looked Steph in his face, and I said, Steph, you heard the slander when you were hurt and Klay was down. People said you couldn't get it done without KD. And I'm thinking to myself, if Steph and the Warriors, I know it's a team game, Matt, if they can get number 4, the fact that Curry allowed another alpha male in Durant to come be a part of what he had, and people kind of took that, oh, he's better than Curry. Curry ain't as good as he was. I say all that to say is, what would number 4 in your mind mean for Curry in his profile to do it without Durant?
It would be huge, and he deserves it. And if you don't like Steph Curry, you're just a hater. He's like one of those, like, what can you really not like about him? You know, he's himself. He plays the game the right way. He's incredible. He's selfless. You know, rarely, especially this day and age, do you see selfless superstars. He's a selfless superstar. So I think it would be huge if they're able to get it. You know, this team is, you know, it's no lie, this team is getting older. But, you know, with that age comes experience. And you know, that's what I felt like we saw last round, although they were really sloppy at times with the ball. You just saw experience overcame the mistakes that they made, you know, because they've been there and they know how to close, and you know, you can have, what, 16 turnovers and still win at home, you know. So it's just like that experience, you can't top that experience. But I also think they realize that, you know, this window is shutting, and it's shutting fast. But I think they have a great, I mean, they're odds on favor to win it. You know, I picked them at the very beginning of the season, if Klay came back healthy, to win it. I think the emergence of their young players has been huge, you know, because those championship teams, the benches were always very strong. They were strong with veterans, but they've actually replaced the veterans, you know, outside of Iguodala, with this young, exuberant youth that flies around on the defensive end, and Jordan Poole, who's on his way to being a star. Kuminga, I really like what he's doing. Juan Toscano. So I really like what they've been able to do. You know, they built a culture, you know, and although they fell on their face, obviously, with the injuries and KD leaving, it was a structure similar to San Antonio, knowing that once the pieces come back together, we can pick up where we left off, because we were a dynasty. So I enjoy watching it. I'm excited, because I feel like they have just as good as opportunity as anyone to win the championship this year.
Matt Barnes joining us on 95.7 The Game. Matt, let me ask you this. Now, I know Nowitzki and Luka are different players, but what you guys did to Nowitzki in 2007 was historic. I mean, you guarded him with a small, quote-unquote, with Steven Jackson. You invited him to turn his back on the floor, and then when he did that, you came with a double team. But he didn't initiate for that team. He liked to catch it at the elbow.
Right.
How do you defend a guy like Luka, who can bring the ball up the court and initiate for himself? Like, he doesn't have to work to get the ball. He has it already.
Yeah, I mean, it's different. And obviously, Dirk is as great as he was. I feel like Luka's like a 2K of Dirk Nowitzki. You know, I mean, he's the newer version, you know, the updated version. I say that with all due respect to Dirk, because he's one of the greatest to ever play. But you know what I mean? Like, he's a ball handler. He shoots step back threes. You see, he uses Dirk's moves in the post. So, you know, what a great you know, Dirk is a generational talent, but to think that, you know, Dallas is able to land the next kind of generational and all-time great in Luka is special. But to be honest with you, hold on one sec. I got to sneeze. Oh.
Sorry, I'm sitting outside. I didn't know if you had the lettuce with you, man. It's all good.
My bad. To be honest, it's tough to guard Luka. I think, obviously, the Warriors have some talented wing defenders, and Draymond is a very versatile defender. But I don't really know if there's anything you can really do with Luka. I think, you know, my mentality when you played great players and how they're going
to
play.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Make him work. Don't give him anything easy. Don't give him any easy fouls. Try to take away what you know he loves to do. But, you know, great offense always beats good defense, or even great defense. So I think Luka is going to do what Luka does, just like Steph is going to do what Steph does. I think the Warriors' game plan needs to be slow down Brunson. Don't let you know, Dinwiddie hadn't had a very good playoffs up until game seven. And, you know, he went crazy for 30 and really was a driving force to help these guys get to the Western Finals. So I'm trying to control their role players because I really feel like there's not too much that Luka hasn't seen. He's been a pro since he was a young teenager, and I don't really know what you can really do with him, to be honest with you.
Matt, you know, when I look at guys like Durant and that body and Kobe and Michael and, you know, the gifts that they got, you know, before you even find out if they can play, they got gifts. And I say that to say is I've been real tough on Draymond Green verbally when, you know, he'll say, I'll take a day off and go watch LeBron. And I'm like, oh, he meant that. You can't. What? How is his teammates going to take that? I say all that to ask you, how special and rare really, man, is Draymond Green? And how surprised are you that he's made an imprint in the league without being the biggest dude from a natural standpoint?
I love it. I love it. He gives people hope, you know, just like Steph has been able to give smaller guards that are, you know, kind of frail somewhat. Obviously, Steph's put on some muscle and stature, but, you know, he gives guys hope that they can play. You don't have to be the most talented, the most athletic, the best shooter. You know, Draymond is a jack of all trades, you know, and he's a Swiss Army knife. And first and foremost, he's a winner. Mm. And people don't understand how important he is. Even when he's not in double figures in any statistical category, he can completely have his imprint on both sides of the ball. You know, I always respected it as a player because, you know, I'm a thinker, just like he's a thinker. And when we saw these younger Warriors coming up, when I was with that Lava City team and we would go back and forth with this young Warrior team, I'm like, Draymond's going to be big for this team because he's not afraid, so he gives his teammates that kind of energy, but then he's really smart. And once they figure out, you know, lo and behold, Steve Kerr came and kind of opened up the offense some, once he understands how to use his weapons, he's going to be a problem. So, you know, Draymond is a rare breed. There's no one in the game like Draymond. His ability to be a defensive blanket at 6'5" and a half, man, if he's lucky, you know, switch out on ball screens, guard people, block shots, rebound, and really protect the paint as an undersized guy. And then to me, he's the quarterback on the offense. He takes so much pressure off of Steph. You know, Steph has to do a lot out there, and he's always running around. And the fact that he doesn't always have to initiate the offense like Luka does, like a Chris Paul does, really helps Steph free up his game. Obviously, you know, we've seen what Clay was able to do with him, what KD was able to do with him, how Jordan Poole is able to play with him. But he's just so smart on both ends that he is one of those, you know, guys that you look at the stats, you're like, oh, he didn't do nothing. But that couldn't be further from the truth on actually the imprint and the importance he had on that game.
Matt, thank you so much. Really appreciate it,
thanks,
man. And we look forward to hearing what you say the rest of these playoffs.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, man. That's Matt Barnes.
Matt B.
We Believe. He's got a ring.
Yeah.
See, here's why I like Matt Barnes.
He coughed, too.
Because he's got a ring.
Sneeze.
But he knows.
Oh, okay.
He knows.
Yeah. He's still wearing it, Stein.
Right, exactly. He didn't really want it. Raymond Ritter had it all off season. Yeah, give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
See?
I'm different. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like Matt Barnes doesn't walk around with a ring laughing at Charles Barkley because he knows that right. Barkley was a bus driver.
And mm-hmm. he's of the Draymond Dennis Rodman type of mold, Stoney. He would get down with you. Remember he threw the ball on Kobe's face. I would have ducked and put my hand. Remember in Orlando, they're in the finals and he threw it at Kobe. Kobe
didn't
blink.
It was the other way around.
No. Matt threw it at Kobe and Kobe didn't blink. He didn't flinch.
But he just ball faked.
Yeah, but I would have put my hands up.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't have.
I would have. I'd be a real to put my hands up. Anyway.
D3.
Yeah, I know what play you're talking about. Did you ever see that? There's an angle on that that makes it seem like he wasn't doing it right in his face.
I've seen that. Man. Yeah, I've seen that. It takes away from
it's
it.
It's called
yeah.
conspiracy theory,
there
Steiner.
You go.
I know. Anyway, Matt Barnes.
He was great.
Yeah, I'm a big Barnes guy. You know who likes Matt Barnes a lot?
My wife.
My mom.
Oh, the hair.
Yeah my mom.
Mary? Remember, yeah, she came.
She came out for one of those We Believe playoff games.
Oh,
she
man.
Walked by him and she said, oh my God, Maddie. And I thought she meant me because that's what she called me. She said, you're so cute.
Now you're going to be proud
and
of me.
And she goes and gives Matt Barnes a hug.
Yeah.
And also Matt Barnes was going through some stuff with his mom at that point too. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great call.
It was touching my mom.
So
he'll never remember, but that's all right.
I've kicked it with him and Eddie House when Eddie was with the Kings. And I was going to bring that up, but.
Yeah, no.
I'm so glad.
No,
I'm
that would have been like me saying, hey, Matt, how's that We Believe documentary coming?
Make sure
you might want to interview the sideline reporter for that.
Look at you trying to get in there.
No, but I didn't.
It ain't done.
I didn't do it.
You still got to. Oh, I got you. But that's politicking. I was just going to.
I'm not going to do that.
I was the dude with the waves, skinny face.
And what I did notice. That you had to get in there. You had to let Matt Barnes know that you were over at the Warriors facility talking to Steph Curry.
You know what? That's retired.
You absolutely had to tell him that.
I did it yesterday, too, to our guest.
I mean, geez, it's been 5 weeks.
Hey,
that was so long ago. Curry was hurt.
Seemed like yesterday. Right. I want an interview.
That's sad. Hey, what's your drop? That's sad. Yeah, I'm going to stop. I'm retired.
Mavericks could get a little payback. For We Believe this series.
But it's 3-4. 3-4. Like, how big of an upset would this be if Dallas did get it done?
I don't know about it. It wouldn't be nearly the upset, but what it would be is it would be the Dallas Mavericks preventing the Warriors from winning a title, which the Warriors did, because don't forget that Mavs team won 67 games.
Avery Johnson.
He was the coach.
Yeah, he never recovered from that.
What are you talking about? He ended up at the University of Alabama.
That's what I mean.
The Crimson Tide,
coach. I know, but still,
for
a
year, I think.
The plan was hit for him to still be coaching. Well, I like Avery. Pick my pocket.
When?
Chabot College, Sunday night open gym. It was me, Handy, special run.
You probably picked him up full court, which is the worst thing you could do.
No, he picked me, took the ball from me.
We know that's going to happen. Who did you guard?
I think I guarded him.
Let me guess. You didn't slough off.
No, I played off of him.
You should have played so far off of him, you double-teamed another guy.
Stoney, I done been on the court with some famous cats, man. All balling. Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, make a list, and then we'll go over it. Make sure we'll let everybody in the Bay Area know.
Now, if you mean that, I'm grabbing the pin frantically right there.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
You can do. You know what? I'll tell you what that would be a great topic for, liquidate all assets. You can do it on that show.
Now, I hope Dibs is listening. I've never seen you fire, like,
I'm
never hate on your
Dibs.
Podcast with JD.
I'm not firing on Dibs.
That was a shot. He'll find out,
That's about you.
No, I didn't like that. Dibs are not going to like it.
Dibs is right there.
Oh, where is he at? Oh, he didn't. He had him shaking his head. That wasn't cool. I always prop
so
you
in
up
other
with
words,
your other
so
ventures.
In other words, acknowledge that content is not good enough for your podcast with Dibs, but on the show with me. Oh yes, Sty, let's do that.
Oh wow,
let's do that.
Yeah, different glasses. No, I was. We're gambling and we do our thing. I didn't. Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't grade the content. I didn't think you would look down on anything that came out of my mouth.
A lot of stuff's here and there.
I knew the national show would cause a rift between us. I knew it was coming. I'm playing.
Is it national or is it regional?
No, it's national. It's national, Sty. 9-1 Sundays.
Let's be honest. Does it go past Eureka?
Because New York City.
Or Chico.
My boy in Washington, D.C., Jamirio, goes, I'm listening to you, fool. I go, what? He was at the airport working. He had him at Dibs. Dibs
Chicago, L.A. Yeah. Might be in Reading, too.
We don't have radio.
Yeah, there. Look at you.
We got to use the Odyssey.
BetQL Network, yeah.
All right. Coming up next, they called him the L-Train. Lionel Hollins, former coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, the Nets. I tell you what, I got a great question for him. Warriors are going up against Jokic, Morant, and now Doncic.
Man.
What's the difference among those players? Notice I said among those players, not between those players, because we're talking about three. That's all brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. They provide a luxurious, all-encompassing experience to address all of your BMW needs. Visit BMWFairfield.com today. To book your visit, that's BMWFairfield.com. Former NBA All-Star, champion, and longtime head coach Lionel Hollins, up next on 95.7 The Game.
But to be honest with you, hold on one sec. I got to sneeze.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.